So it's my pleasure now to welcome Dr. Marie Ruelle, who is home here in one sense, but we've had her at McGill too few times in the past, and certainly very happy to have you here today. Marie is the director of the, that's different than what I had written, it's now called Poverty, Health, and Nutrition Division at the International Food Policy Research Institute, IFPRI.
Yes, the division has changed name, so you're updated now. And yes, my claim to fame is that I have a master's degree from Laval University, not McGill. I didn't speak English then. So I will talk about whether or not there's a disconnect between food security and nutrition. Actually, I would say maybe the opposite of what you were saying earlier, Tim. We in nutrition know that there is a disconnect, but I have seen slides from IFPRI colleagues that say food security equal nutrition, and so I've made a point of doing a little education among my economists and agriculture colleagues. So I'm going to argue that there is a disconnect in many places and in many circumstances and give you a feel for where and why. And then I will give some examples of success in improving food security or improving nutrition or improving both. I'm not going to talk about the failures. I'm just going to be optimistic and show you some examples of success. In terms of food security indicators, I don't mean to go into that. I just wanted to point out that the food security indicators I will be talking about are the first one, is the percentage of undernourishment, which is the percentage of people that don't have enough calories to eat. This is the FAO indicator. It's about quantity, not quality. We don't have that much information about dietary diversity globally. In terms of hunger, there are the types of hunger indices that Rafael discussed this morning. That are more perception of food insecurity, more qualitative measures. We at IFPRI have developed a hunger index. You might have seen it launched last week. The 2010 report was launched. It's an index that combines three indicators. It's the FAO indicator of percentage of undernourishment. It also includes the percentage of children less than 5 who are underweight, so this is an indicator of nutrition, and it includes under 5 mortality rate. In principle, the index is constructed as such that each of the indicator in there gets equal weight, so they should represent a third, but you will see that this is not the case. In terms of nutrition, the indicators I will be showing today are anthropometric indicators in children, and we used to focus on the under 5, but as the world has now realized that if we intervene during the first 2 years in terms of nutrition, we can have a much greater impact. So we now focus on the under 2s or the 1,000 days. You might have heard of the 1,000 Day Initiative, which is from pregnancy, from conception up to when the child reaches 2 years of age. So how closely are food security and nutrition linked? So this first graph, which is not meant for you to look at the details, but just shows of 122 countries that we use in the Global Hunger Index. Here we have the graph for Africa, which shows that as the population, the percentage of population becomes more food insecure, you also have an increase in the percentage of child underweight. So food insecurity and child underweight, child malnutrition are linked. But look at all the outliers. So there's a lot of areas in the world, and this is just Africa, where you have a lot more malnutrition than you should, given a certain level of food insecurity. The same is true for Asia. The outliers here are the Nepal, India, Bangladesh, the usual, where you have a lot of food insecurity, but way too much underweight and undernutrition. You also have some winners down there, China, Thailand, and Mongolia, that have less underweight, less children malnourished, for their level of undernourishment. This is Latin America. There's quite a cluster here of countries that follow a certain line, which show a good connection between underweight and food insecurity. But you have the outliers. Guatemala always stands out, Guyana and Honduras. And here you have Haiti that actually is right on the line, a lot of food insecurity, a lot of child malnutrition. Now, in terms of the global hunger index that I mentioned, what we've learned here, this is just the map from 2010, which shows that there are still 29 countries with alarming and extremely alarming levels of hunger. Those are in orange, dark orange, and red. They are clustered, as you can see, in sub-Saharan Africa and in South Asia. The red are found only in Africa. So there is really a big problem in these two regions. This is not new, but we also looked at progress. We looked at changes since 1990. And what we find this year is that we have a 24% We have a 24% reduction in hunger since 1990. So the scores, which combine the three indicators I mentioned before, went from about 20 to 15. So that's good news. But we can see that there is variable success or variable level of improvement over the years between the different regions. South Asia stands out as having the highest still level of hunger, but actually having improved over time. We can see quite a big improvement from 30 to 23. And we can see that a lot of the improvement that has happened there is due to improvement in child underweight. This is the middle indicator here. So at the bottom, you have the food insecurity, and the pale green is the underweight children, and the dark is the child mortality. Each indicator, as I said, should contribute about a third since they're weighed equally. But we can see that undernutrition actually contributes almost half, and in some regions it contributes half of the score. So we really have a problem with malnutrition. We've been better at addressing food insecurity and the proportion of people that don't have access to enough food than we have been at improving nutrition. In sub-Saharan Africa, we have a problem in everything. We have a problem of food insecurity, we have a problem of mortality, child mortality, and of underweight children. Best performers. What I wanted to show here are the individual scores for some countries, and to show you again that there's been in some countries improvements in one indicators and in other countries improvements in another indicator and in yet other countries improvements in all three indicators. So just quickly, if you look at Nicaragua and Ghana, this is 1990 and this is 2010. They have improved by about the same. They were pretty much the same at the beginning. They are pretty much the same at the end. But look at what changed. In Nicaragua, you have had a greater improvement in terms of food security and still some improvement in underweight and children's malnutrition. But in Ghana, you have had an even greater improvement in reducing food insecurity and less in terms of reducing child nutrition. There's actually still quite a bit of child underweight that you need to deal with in that country. Other countries, Peru here, you can see major reductions in the black, which is the child mortality, 53% reduction in food security. Again, a good performance, much better performance on reducing the problem of food insecurity everywhere than reducing undernutrition. Mexico, on the other hand, which started at a pretty good level in terms of food security, reduced undernutrition by 75%. I'm not showing in this slide that, unfortunately, this has also resulted in a very, very big increase in obesity, but that's another topic. And Brazil improved on all three counts. Brazil did a great job. Okay, 5 minutes left. So what explains the disconnect? First, a conceptual framework. I don't know how well you can see it. Some of you have seen the conceptual framework. Some are smiling and saying, she's showing that slide again. Yes, this is what explains the disconnect. Basically, nutrition is the result of food, health, and care. We summarize it that way. We need appropriate food. We need caring behaviors. We need appropriate child feeding practices and caring practices. And we need access to health services, water, sanitation. So child nutrition is not directly related to food security. If you improve food security and you don't improve everything else, you just don't get improvements in nutrition. And what I'm showing here on the left are the types of interventions that us nutritionists target usually. We work on improving nutrition. We work on improving breastfeeding practices, complementary feeding practices, making sure that children have all the vitamin A supplements they need and the zinc supplements. They have their micronutrients needs met. They are immunized. They have access to good hygiene and sanitation. But we also need to work on the underlying causes of nutrition. So we do need to increase food security through these kinds of interventions that are on the left. Agriculture, poverty reduction, education is important. All of those factors are important. We need to work also on the underlying causes of malnutrition. But as I said, this is what explains the disconnect between food security and nutrition, is that there's a lot of other things in between, and we need to press all the buttons at the same time in order to improve nutrition. So different development strategies lead to different outcomes. Some countries will focus more on one thing. Others will focus more on another thing. Many countries rely on just economic growth to resolve the problem of nutrition. Other countries rely on agricultural growth to reduce the problem of undernutrition. And it's just not enough. You need to do all of the above, all of the things I've mentioned. An example of success, just quickly, Brazil did it, reduced stunting by 82% in 30 years. This is a long time, but in the past 10 years, they still reduced by half. So what did they do? They have had public policies that were working towards universalization of basic services, and they also focused enormously on reducing socioeconomic disparities. Brazil focused on improving their Gini coefficient, their inequality coefficient. So they did all of this. They implemented programs to improve health, access to health services. They focused on education. They implemented a conditional cash transfer program to stimulate demand for education and for health. They increased the legal minimum wage, et cetera, et cetera. My point being, they have pressed all the different buttons at the same time and have reached much, much greater equality in that country, poverty reduction, as well as a major reduction in child nutrition. Just in passing, when they explain what actually is responsible for the decrease in stunting in the country, they show that reducing inequality in women's education was the biggest factor, which explains 25% of that reduction in stunting. Then, of course, income increases have helped. Access to water and sanitation and healthcare are also contributors, but it's important to see how important education has been and is. Another example, quickly, of success. China in 81 had 835 million people suffering from poverty, living on less than $1.25 a day, and now in 2005, and it's actually probably gotten better, have 208 million. So reduction in poverty of 75%. Also accompanied by a reduction in underweight. This is child underweight, the major reduction over the past couple of decades. China reached the MDG 1 in 2002, that is reducing by half the prevalence of malnutrition in the country. Again, if you look at what they've done, they have had not only dramatic economic growth, but they've also had successful poverty reduction strategy. They have focused on nutrition, health, family planning, as we all know, complementary actions in the area of water and sanitation and education, etc. They have also used data. They collect an awful lot of data in China, and they use these data to track and monitor change, and they use them for taking action. I will skip on the other successes because I've been asked to stop, but I will give my conclusions. So the lessons learned from successes is that we do need to simultaneously address the immediate causes of malnutrition, that is, give the children food and health, but we also need to address the underlying determinants of nutrition. For that, we need a multisectoral focus. We don't have the choice. We have to mainstream food security and nutrition within health, within education, agriculture, as well as social development. We need political commitment at all levels. I think you probably heard that last night with David Navarro's talk. We need to focus in nutrition interventions on the 1,000 days. I haven't talked about this very much, but there's a consensus now that this is the window of opportunity. And we do need to monitor, evaluate, and track progress. Thank you.